Over the last century, Wales provided the UK with regular examples of inspirational public service leadership. David Lloyd George created the first system of national insurance for those who were sick or unemployed. Jim Griffiths used his experience as a miners leader in developing the modern state benefit system, introducing the Family Allowances Act, a new Industrial Injuries Act, and the National Insurance Act in 1948. And Aaron Bevan brought his experience of the Tredegar Working Men's Medical Aid Society to the creation of the National Health Service, under which over 2,500 voluntary and municipal hospitals in England and Wales were nationalised, and a system of general practice was established across the UK with services free for all at the point of delivery. There are other examples. Viscount Rhondda, as Minister for Food Control in the First World War, used his industrial experience of production and distribution to design the system of food rationing, which ensured that the population was able to be fed. And there's the work of Elizabeth Andrews in the Rhondda, no relation, who led the campaigns for pithead baths and nursery schools, resulting in the first nursery school in Wales at Cloyne Pier. She campaigned for clinics for trained midwives and indeed later local telephone kiosks to ensure speedier access to services. These were Welsh public service leaders who turned vision into delivery. Sometimes people talk as though public service reform only sprang up in the 1980s or 1990s under the pressure of market-orientated politicians seeking to reduce the role of the state. The post-Thatcher, post-Reagan school of reformers, or subsequently the proponents of the Blair-style new public management reforms, or the Clinton-Gore reinventing government programme. In practice, public service reform has been underway ever since public services were invented. In Wales, our traditions of community engagement in finding cooperative and mutual solutions enabled us to pioneer new approaches. We need to retain that sense of agency, of the potential of popular control of our public services, even in the midst of austerity. As we said in July in our document, Improving Public Services for People in Wales, our public services are an integral part of all of our lives. We all rely on them in our moments of need, and they support us to maximise our own potential and to help others. Every day, they help to save lives and change lives for the better. At their best, they are transformational. If they fall short, it matters. They support not just our well-being now, but also that of future generations. We set out in that document our commitment to a culture based on the concept of one public service in Wales. People come into public service in Wales to make a difference. Working together, we can achieve more than we could achieve as individuals. In Wales, we do believe there is such a thing as society, such a thing as community. Those community and cooperative values underpin our notion of public service. They drive our commitment to shape our public services with the active engagement of the users of those services, involving them in the design and delivery of services, building services around the needs of the individual, not the corporate demands of a particular institution. So tonight I want to talk about public service leadership, 1 year on from the publication of the report of the Commission on Public Service Governance and Delivery, about the things we need to do together collectively to transform and deliver public services fit for the modern age, able to cope with whatever austerity throws at us. And I want to congratulate Sir Paul Williams and his colleagues on making the case for further change and starting the debate we need. To some degree, it is fair to say that discussion of the recommendations of the Commission on Public Service Governance and Delivery has largely focused on the recommendations about local authority mergers. I plan to say nothing more about these tonight. The recommendations of the Commission relating to improving democratic leadership, diversity, and governance of local authorities, to increase transparency and accountability, to enable them to connect better with their local communities, and strengthening the way audit, inspection, and regulation support effective democratic scrutiny to ensure performance is improved, will be dealt with in our local government white paper, which will be published on the 3rd of February. My colleague, the Member for Health and Social Services, the Minister for Health and Social Services, is taking forward the recommendations relating to to integration of health and social services and governance of CHCs. The Minister for Natural Resources is taking forward the recommendations on the refreshed role for national parks and the role of local service boards, with the creation of statutory public service boards in the Wellbeing of Future Generations Bill. My focus today is therefore on the recommendations on public service leadership and values. As Sir Paul's Commission reported, leadership, cultural change and values will be as important as any conclusions we have reached on structural change or the functions or funding and governance arrangements of any public service organisations. For the last decade of devolution, the Welsh Government has led programmes designed to drive public service improvement, which commenced with the publication by then First Minister Rhodri Morgan of the Making the Connections document. At the time, Rhodri said, "Our approach is based firmly on the view that the best outcomes in Wales will be delivered through collaboration and coordination, not competition. This fits with the nature of Wales as a small country and the people of Wales' strong sense of ownership of their public services. We need to place citizens and communities centre stage. The empowerment of the citizen and the community will drive the improvement." I don't think the approach we take today has changed in essence from what Rhodri Morgan set out a decade ago, placing citizens and communities centre stage. So in Wales, public service reform did not commence with the publication of the Williams Commission report. We had the Beecham Review, Beyond Boundaries, the creation of local service boards supported by generous ESF funding, the Kafka Brigade reviews of services, the Regional Collaboration Fund, the Organisation of Regeneration across local authority boundaries, the City Regions Programme, the Public Service Summits, the Regional Educational Consortia. A variety of programmes have been based on the post-Simpson regional footprint, setting out six consistent geographic areas for public service collaboration. In 2011, the Public Service Leadership Group was established to provide national leadership for collaboration and drive the pace of improvement in public services in Wales, with engagement by key partners in the public service reform agenda. We're now moving to put the kind of work previously undertaken by the local service boards under a statutory footing with the creation of the public service boards, which operate on the basis of long-term thinking, developing an integrated approach, a focus on preventative action, collaborative working, and involving people and communities. We have to be learning organisations in the public services, ready to pioneer and test and learn from both success and failure. The demands of austerity make these challenges more urgent. We need to be more rigorous and systematic in trialling new approaches to improve services and reduce costs. Where they're shown to work, we need to adopt and scale up at much greater pace than we have in the past. I've often said that public service organisations, in my experience, tend to collaborate only if they are fined, incentivised, or forced to do so. The best time to collaborate, of course, is when public service expenditure is going up. But the reality is that institutional inertia, a narrow focus on immediate institutional needs rather than the needs of the whole system, and fragmented performance management audit and inspection models may provoke managerial responses which do not address the needs of the whole system, rather than the generous and open leadership response which is needed. As the Williams Commission report stated, the complexity of these challenges requires adaptive leaders, those who can deal with uncertainty and ambiguity and are able to tackle issues where there is often no simple management solution. Matthew Taylor, Chief Executive of the Royal Society of the Arts, recently wrote about the need for a qualitatively different kind of leadership, one that is based on influence and generosity, not control, if the public domain is not to be squeezed further. A form of leadership that recognises that public service bodies can help achieve broader social goals by sharing power with service users or helping other public service bodies achieve their goals through collaboration. Matthew identifies three core competencies needed by public service leaders in the future: the ability to see the larger system beyond one's immediate organisation, the ability to foster deeper and more reflective conversations about problems that enable the understanding of different perspectives, and moving the focus from reactive problem solving to creating a new future together based on an alternative vision of what might be possible to create together. If we are to build and retain trust and confidence in our public services in Wales, then we need to ensure real leadership, based on a recognition that change has to happen with a rich level of community engagement, an openness about data and its potential to drive change, a focus on the whole system, understanding what is being done well, where, and helping to identify where change can truly make a difference. We need leaders who can operate and drive change on this basis. Some of the most inspiring changes we've seen in public service delivery have come not from the drive to force public service bodies to collaborate, but from the engagement of leaders prepared to look at the citizens' experience of their services. So storytelling, based on individual narratives, has become important in mapping individual experiences of the whole system. We have a number of examples of how individual citizens' stories have been used to drive change in our public services. That happened, for example, with the work by the Kafka Brigade project on domestic violence in RCT in 2008, in particular using the testimony of abuse survivor Emma and her story of domestic abuse, which provided the platform for the 10,000 Safer Lives project and the current bill we have on gender-based violence. Seeing the service through the user's eyes, in other words, empowers our public service leaders to drive change. The success of projects like that has been when public service leaders often have asked a very simple question of each other: how can we help? That question, as Matthew Taylor has again identified, unleashes the generosity and optimism that brings most people into public service in the first place. So what do we want our public service leaders to be? Capable of taking a whole system approach based on the concept of One Public Service Wales, generous about the contribution of other agencies to the delivery of their vision, surveying the horizon to understand new challenges, opportunities and developments, open with the data needed to drive performance improvement, benchmarking themselves against the best in class, not just the best in Wales, engaging their citizens and communities in working on solutions, committed to learning from their peers, from their workforce, from their communities, from others, and taking responsibility for service performance before failure becomes an issue, not waiting for audit or inspection to point it out. With the development of new principal local authorities and statutory public service boards convening all those public bodies with an interest in the well-being of a particular area, we have the opportunity to create collectively a new culture based on expectations of high performance and adaptability that looks at the collective impact of different organisations working together on common problems, that seeks to learn from the best performing organisations around the world, not just in Wales. At a time when public service organisations all around the world are learning that the old ways of doing things are not sufficient for the future, Wales has the opportunity to leap beyond others if our minds are open to the possibility. In essence, we have a number of forms of leadership within our public services in Wales: political leadership, executive leadership, and non-executive leadership. By political leadership, I include all those who are in elected positions, from the Welsh Government to people in leadership positions within local authority cabinets. By executive leadership, I mean those who are in chief executive or heads of service roles in our public services, including our local authorities, and I include professional leadership like clinical leadership within that. By non-executive leadership, I mean those who chair or act as members of boards, ranging from LHBs to Natural Resources Wales to fire and rescue authorities, indeed to colleges and universities. This is the leadership cadre within Wales. But what do we do to develop a common understanding of the context for public service delivery in Wales? What do we do to develop common agreement on appropriate objectives, values and learning? What do we do to ensure buy-in to a concept of a One Public Service Wales culture? We need to explore the relationship between these different kinds of public service leaders. In Denmark, the chief executives of local government organisations there have developed a public governance code for chief executive excellence. You'll find it in the slides in the pack that's been distributed. This governance code makes 9 key recommendations for local authority chief executives. Clarify your managerial space with the political leader. Take responsibility for ensuring that the political goals are implemented throughout the organisation. Create an organisation which is responsive and capable of influencing the outside world. Create an organisation which acts as part of an integrated public sector. Require the organisation to focus on results and effects. Possess vision and work strategically to improve the way that your organisation accomplishes its assignments. Exercise your right and duty to lead the organisation. Display personal and professional integrity and safeguard the public sector's legitimacy and democratic values. I hope we can learn from this in Wales. After our local government reforms, I never want to hear again about officer-led councils in Wales. We also need to reimagine leadership in a non-hierarchical way. 30 years ago, I heard the consumer rights campaigner Ralph Nader say that the role of leaders is to create more leaders. There are leaders of change within organisations and within systems. Sometimes they are delivering changes which may not be realised by the formal organisational leaders. Take the efforts that have been made in Cardiff Council, for example, to reduce carbon consumption. Using the Carbon Culture platform, data on energy use by key buildings in Cardiff's public realm, including its schools, has been captured and is publicly available online, and efforts to reduce energy consumption are being mapped. I've never heard this being talked about by the council leadership, though it seems to me a good example of public service leadership at the front line and a pioneering use of open data within our public services in Wales. I'm also told that the software paid for itself in approximately 9 months across the Cardiff's operational building estate. And how do our leaders learn to be leaders? Is it all on the job? After all, no one formally taught me how to be a minister, or before that, a deputy minister. I know the Institute for Government is seeking to address the issue of ministerial learning. But how do leaders of local authorities get their training? In most professions, there is some context of professional development and leadership training that goes with that. In the health service, for example, there are well-established training processes. So what are we going to do? First, we're establishing a public service leadership panel. This will operate as a ministerial advisory group designed to inform and shape the public service transformation agenda, to draw on best practice, to encourage and support collaborative impact and innovation, and to accelerate the shift to digital public services. This will have access to work by the Public Policy Institute for Wales, now part of the What Works network, to our Board on Effective Services for Vulnerable Groups, the innovation lab that Nesta and Cardiff University plan to establish, and the Ministerial Panel on Digital Public Services I've recently established jointly with the Deputy Minister for Skills and Technology. And I'd be glad to support plans from Nesta and Cardiff University to establish an innovation lab for public services in Wales, building on their experience in fostering innovation across the UK and the rigorous design and testing of service reforms. I want Welsh Government to work with the innovation lab systematically to develop and trial new approaches to some of the biggest challenges facing Welsh public services. I hope the lab will build partnerships across Welsh public services to enhance our capacity for successful evidence-based reform. We also have in our Public Service Academy a major leadership development resource which can contribute to the new kinds of leadership that we require. Academy, formerly Public Service Management Wales, has done much excellent work and should be the core of our development of public service leadership in Wales. But our objectives for Academy must be more explicit and more firmly grounded in the nature of the public service leadership which we want to develop in Wales over the next decade. That means that its programmes must be more proactive, there must be more buy-in from public service leaders across Wales on its role in leadership development, and that it should develop a prospectus of agreed and validated leadership courses, such as those delivered by other institutions, including higher education institutions within Wales. We're also looking at the possibility of strengthening the process for senior public service appointments, including developing a common framework of principles and a potential public services appointments commission, drawing on examples that exist in Australia, Ireland, New Zealand, and Canada. This means no more Porsches in Pembrokeshire, or at least none paid for by the public purse. In Wales, we want high-performing organisations, and so do the public. If we want the public to support public services, then we have to be focused on excellence in delivery. As Michael Barber pointed out in his book, Instruction to Deliver, the public is not impressed by adequate services. Of course, if our focus is to be the creation of high-performing organisations, then we need, as the Williams Commission recognised, to simplify and clarify the expectations that we have of public service organisations. Our performance management frameworks need to be simpler. We need to agree what are the right level of expectations for Welsh Government to set and where there can be greater flexibility in performance by, for example, local authorities. Again, if you look at the targets measured by the delivery unit in number 10 under Michael Barber, again in your pack, their goals are clear and straightforward. We also need public service organisations to adopt the most open practice in relation to the publication of data in real time. There are no hiding places in the land of open data. Open data offers insight into citizen priorities and behaviours, makes public services accountable without having to rely on false public sector markets, strengthens democracy and decision making, helps drive performance, and helps the public understand what is best in class. And data also provides economic growth opportunities. As Professor Schoenberger of the Oxford Internet Institute has said, government can provide a data subsidy to startups and social enterprises and others, pioneering new innovative approaches. Transparency is, of course, a challenge to managers, but is an aid to leaders, enabling them to build trust in public services by the public. If we're truly to reform public services, then we need a pull from the public as much as a push by government. That is why the Deputy Minister for Skills and Technology and I have established our Digital Public Services Group to learn from the best in digital public service developments across the world. The new lessons of government digital services are about starting small, identifying problems early, getting user feedback quickly, evolving applications and services as you go, acting, in other words, in an agile fashion, learning the lessons of the lean startup movement pioneered by Eric Ries. It is the end of the grand plan and the end of command and control. We already have some good examples in Wales of low-cost digital data services, such as My Local School, which was awarded second place by the Royal Statistical Society in 2013 in the category for public sector presentation and communication. It gets 650,000 hits a year. We've also plotted travel-to-work data extensively to help local authorities in planning for outcomes from the Active Travel Bill, for example. Under the Act, local authorities have to produce maps showing existing active travel routes and their plans to enhance that network. To reduce duplication and deliver economies of scale, we've established a national data management system and commissioned an initial survey of active travel infrastructure to populate the system, a good example of a simple shared service. And data can be shared in real time, of course, as the example of Ceredigion's primary school attendance figures shows, again, in your packs. Making policy in the digital age is about leadership, about being open, curious, networked, collaborative, and digitally engaged. Leaders need to be broadening the range of people with whom they engage, looking at the depth and quality of that engagement, drawing on the latest analytical techniques, taking an agile approach and prepared to crowdsource ideas and solutions. I'm announcing today that we will be establishing a digital public services fund with £250,000 per annum to drive new digital initiatives in the public services. We as Welsh Government and leaders in our public services need to develop a more mature and open relationship, with Welsh Government setting the overall objectives in a clear and limited number of policy areas. Public service leaders taking responsibility for that within their own organisations, leading the drive for excellence, identifying best practice wherever it exists, and following through on implementation, welcoming scrutiny as an aid to excellence, seeing audit and inspection as the backstop for performance improvement, not the main driver. As my colleague Mark Drakeford said when publishing Ruth Mark's review of Health Inspectorate Wales 2 weeks ago, we must accept that healthcare regulation and inspection can only ever be the third line of defence against serious quality failures. the first line of defence is formed by frontline professionals themselves, and the second by the boards and senior leaders in our health boards and NHS trusts. In November, I said we cannot pretend any longer that local government can do everything. We certainly believe that control over public services should be democratically led, and we will retain the public sector as the primary deliverer. We do not believe that profit-making bodies have a role to play in the delivery of local public services. But there will be opportunities for communities through social enterprises, cooperatives, and community mutuals to influence and, in some cases, run services. With this in mind, we need to ask whether the current system has institutionalised politicians into the management of councils, made them defenders of the system, rather than freeing them to lead service development on behalf of their communities. I want to see real civic leadership with genuine engagement with backbench elected members and community activists so that power and responsibility is shared more equally to get things done. There is a growing momentum in Wales today around the pressing need to increase diversity in public life. Public life is about representation, leading by example, and reflecting the views of communities into the decision-making processes of our public organisations. We want people living in Wales to feel that those making decisions are connected to and have a deep understanding of their needs and challenges. In some areas of the public services, we are making some progress in diversity. As my colleague Leslie Griffiths, the Minister for Communities and Tackling Poverty, announced last week, for Welsh Government advisory-sponsored bodies, we've seen an increase in female representation from 32% in April 2012 to 50% in October 2014. Some local health boards are making good progress, with three having female representation at or over 40%. But we need to do more to improve the participation of disabled and ethnic minority board members. But in terms of diversity, worst of all are our councils, with low levels of women in cabinets and most councillors being over 60, male and white. As a government, we're leading on this agenda. Laura McAllister's work in improving diversity in Sport Wales has been rolled out to chairs of all public sector boards, and Laura's taken work forward for us on diversity in local government as well. The Welsh Government is taking forward a pilot programme of training, development and support for members of underrepresented groups who wish to become public service board members. This is about leadership, and our local government white paper will place a duty on local authority leaders to promote diversity within their authorities. As I said at the beginning, Wales has a strong track record of leadership in public services. We need to develop the leaders of the future. Our public services are determined by political priorities. Political leadership is primary. When we debate the future of our public services, we must avoid sinking into the mire of a weary managerialism and remember, all of us, that the real challenge for the future is leadership that can provide a new vision. Let me end with a quote from a different Williams, the Welsh cultural critic Raymond Williams, and remind you of his words about radicalism. He said, "To be truly radical is to make hope possible rather than despair convincing." That should be the leadership vision of our public services. Diolch yn fawr.